You ever heard that good old gospel song? I don't know how gospel it is. Well, I guess that's the truth. So I guess you can say it. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. No other way to get there unless Jesus comes. So unless he comes, you're going by the way of the grave. Wow. Think about how exciting that is. I don't know how exciting that is, but I'd rather live, wouldn't you? We never faced death. We never had to. We saw it in others and been around others and had to face the loss of someone, but as far as dying, we've never died. But they say it's a joyous experience. Angel is there to get you, to take you. I read where people died and come back, you know, from the grave. And it's talking about how wonderful it was, how peaceful it was, how joyful it was. And after they died, and they didn't want to come back. Well, I can understand that, can't you? Praise the Lord. You know, there's a lot going on in our nation. I don't think it'll ever be the same. I think the way of life has changed drastically in this nation. I think I don't know if it'll ever be the same in America. I don't know what's going to happen or how much is going to happen or all that's going on. But I know there's so much going on. I was thinking about this scripture. It's not my sermon, but you can consider this. I believe God's doing something. In this hour, he's always is. But in Matthew 13, I was thinking about this, what Jesus said here, and I believe this is kind of what's going on somewhat today. And a parable he put forth to them, the kingdom of heaven, like a man who sowed seed in the field. But while men slept, while men slept. It's always dangerous when the church sleeps. It costs us when we sleep, church. Very costly when we sleep, don't pay attention, don't know what's going on. That's where Satan takes advantage of us. The Bible tells us over and over and over, the Holy Spirit does, not to be sleepy, sluggish, be alert, stay on guard, be watchful, be mindful. Because your adversary goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and he catches us napping, catches us sluggish, not paying attention. That doesn't mean literally sleeping, but when we let our guard down and don't stay in the word or pay attention or know what's going on, he takes advantage of that, the enemy does. And while men slept, while they slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Caught us off guard. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servant of the owner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in this field? How then does we have all this tares in our midst? How come all this junk's going on? How did we get in this mess? How did our nation get in such a mess? How did our government and our leaders, how did we get such leaders? How did we get to a point that lawlessness is ruling and we've lost the ability to know good and evil and we've lost the power to govern? How did all this happen?" Men slept. And the enemy came in and sowed tares. He sowed tares in the leadership of the church, tares in our government, tares in our schools, tares on the news media, tares in Hollywood, tares in society, tares at your house. And we didn't know it till it all came up. And when it all came up, he said, "Wait a minute. I've got more tares than I have weed. What happened?" The enemy came while you were sleeping. We let our guard down, and we didn't think it mattered when we put prayer out of the school or this, that, and the other, and let our guard down in the home, let our guard down in the schools, and now our schools and whatever has produced a generation that lawless, have no respect for parents, no respect for leaders. They don't honor their mother and dad, don't honor government, don't even know the Constitution, tearing down statues. They don't even know who it is or what they're up. They don't even know it. They're ignorant. How did we produce a generation of ignorance? Our kids are ignorant. Did you ever see on TV where that guy goes in the street with college students at spring break and asks them questions about history? Who won the Civil War? They'll say Britain. Or just, they don't even know what the Civil War was. Who discovered America? They don't know. Ignorant. How did we produce that? What happened? We slept and they sold tares. We allowed leaders to get in, school teachers to get in, professors to get in, congressmen to get in, senators to get in, who were evil, had an evil intent, and we didn't even know it. I dare say, without a doubt, Barack Obama was the worst president we've ever had. But he seemed like a very nice guy, very friendly, kind of guy you want to sit down and have lunch with and talk all day. But if you study him, who he really was, and his agenda, what he really wanted to do. And we're reaping the deep state and all this. We would have never known the corruption that was in the FBI, the CIA, the government, any of that, if Hillary Clinton had got elected. We would have never known how corrupt they all were. Because Trump got elected, it exposed every bit of that. We never. How'd that happen? How'd all these tares get in the FBI? Yeah. Leadership. We thought he seemed like a nice guy. I was listening to the radio yesterday that where the Supreme Court had ruled on something to do with abortion, and the head honcho there at the Supreme Court, Judge Roberts, thought he was going to be a strong conservative, and he's turned out to be a liberal. How did he get in there? He seemed like his heart, he was a terror. While he slept. And if we don't know truth strong and fight for truth, we don't even know a wheat from a tare. They say a tare looks just like a wheat unless you open it up and there's no fruit in it in the head. It's only black. The heart of it is what's wrong. And you open the wheat up, and the heart of it is what's valuable and what feeds you and good. But the heart of a tare is dark and black. It takes over the tare of the wheat. So how did that happen? But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servant of the owner said, well, how do we have all these tares? So he said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go gather them up? Do you want us now to straighten it out? What do we do now? You ask most Christians, they don't even know. If we go to the voting booth, and if we had good people that would run up for office, but we don't know. We don't know who they are anymore because society is so twisted that we don't know who they are. We know pretty well face value of Democrats. They're liberal, left wing. We know pretty well face value. But the Republicans, you don't know. And the ones that's there, they're not doing anything. They don't have any fight in them. They don't have any purpose or any strong passion for right or for what we want, our leaders. Do you know, the will of the people in this nation are not getting what they want. It's a few people, a minority in this nation is ruling. A very small percentage of this nation is ruling. You know, at given times, I know even in California, they voted down certain things they wanted to pass. They went to the ballot, and by a majority, they voted it down. But it didn't matter. A few terror leaders passed it anyway. We voted down so many things in this nation, and the will of the people has not wanted that. If you ask the will of the people now about all this going on in our streets and all this violence and defunding the police, no, the will of the people are not for that. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anymore about what the people want. They're not in Washington or in Raleigh to serve the will of the people. It's to serve an agenda, and most of the time, to please a small majority of people who has the most money that lobby and pay them, and they push these things over on us. Nothing we can do about it. And the sad part of it is we keep putting these crazy people back in office. If the people would revolt and stand up, but now we've got to a point that even the society don't know what it wants. And so, Lord, you said, do we rise up now and remove all the tares? I don't even know how we do that. We got a president, and we think, well, all we need is a good president, and we're finding out what hell they put a president through. I mean, the system is rigged now. The whole system is rigged. Well, not to lose hope. We're on the winning team. The houses they slept. Well, how do we sleep? Occupied against pleasure and against we're so active, involved in so much of the world. Worldly things. Involved in it's not bad, and it's not sin. It's just got us busy. Where people don't know. He said, the enemy has done this. But he said, do you want us to go and gather them up? And he said, no. Lest you gather up the tares, and you also uproot the wheat with them. They've mixed and then mingled so much. Let them grow together until the harvest. And at that time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and burn them in bundles and burn them, or gather them in bundles and burn them, and then gather the wheat into my barn. Wow. You know, maybe what's going on here, we're in a time, I think, of a harvest. The Bible says in James there'll be a great harvest, and we hear this sometimes from people say there's a great revival coming, but then we look, we don't see it, but maybe something spiritual is happening. There's a harvest taking place of the separation. I think there's a great separation taking place in the body of Christ. Who's on the Lord's side? Whose side are you going to be on? And God's taking an inventory. He's making a list, and he's checking it twice. I believe that. The Bible says, Some will depart from the faith. There'll be a great falling away. That some will leave and some will go. And this, they've grown together and now the harvest time's come. And God said, leave them alone. I'll straighten it out. We're in a place that I don't know how we can straighten it out. There's nothing the church can say that's not been said. There's no sermons we can preach that will move the people. Are you out there? God is doing a separation. So I would determine in my heart, I'm on the Lord's side. Josh said, as for me and my house, listen, I am determined, no matter what comes, goes, whatever, that I will not be moved, I will not bend, I will not bow, I will not compromise. I'm going to stay strong. I'm going to stay in church. I'm going to stay close to church. I'm going to stay in my Bible, and I'm going to remain a wheat because there's a separation. There's a goat nation and a sheep nation. There's goats and there's sheep. We pick what we want. The Bible says you see these things take place. What manner of man should you be? We decide. And we see it happening. Amen? That's not even my sermon. But I believe that's one of the things happening. Over in Matthew chapter 9, it's not far to turn there. If you was with me in 13, we'll look here at something. Then we'll go over to Ezekiel. That's close together, isn't it? I want us to see something here that's kind of going along with what we were saying. 9th chapter of Matthew, verse 35. And Jesus went about the cities and villages teaching in the synagogue. Where was he teaching? In church. Right? He was teaching in church. And preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, that's obvious, that's two different things. And healing every sickness and every disease. Teaching and preaching. Teaching is for believers. Preaching is for unbelievers. Preaching of the gospel is what the evangelists do. That's how you get people saved. That's how you make Christians. That's how you make Christians, by teaching, by the gospel. You preach the gospel. Evangelism or evangelist, they preach. They deal in the emotional realm. Evangelists can go to preaching and they make hell hot. You can feel the flames. And they'll deal with your emotions and they'll tell stories. I love the office of the evangelist. I love to hear good evangelistic preaching where they can just get down and they just preach it. And it's involved in also healing, is that preaching of the gospel. And it's a cross. You preach the cross. And you preach salvation. And you throw the net. And you bring them in. But once you get them saved, you have to teach them. You don't preach to Christians. I mean, there's an element of preaching. You know what I mean. It's not, preaching is not how you form your sentences or how you present your deliver your sermon. That's not what you call preaching. It's what the message is. The gospel. You preach the gospel. I was wondering, look over in Ezekiel 44. What got me to thinking, I was thinking about Christians who don't know any better. I was thinking about Christians who I believe is genuine Christians, but they don't know, really, they have no discernment. They have no discernment at all. Isaiah said in the last days that they'll say good is evil and evil is good, and they can't discern or tell the difference. They don't know, really. And I was watching people on TV or different ones who are strong liberals. And they strong on the liberal message and preaching the liberal gospel. But they say they're Christian. And I think, how can you not see that? It's wrong. How can you believe and be with that? How can you not know evil and good and evil? How can you not tell the difference? People have no discernment. You're not born with discernment. You're not born knowing good, and you're not born knowing evil. You're not born with that. Look with me in Ezekiel 44, verse 23. Are you there? And they shall teach my people the difference. They shall teach my people the difference between holy and unholy and cause them to discern between what's clean and unclean. You mean you have to teach people what's clean and unclean? You have to teach Christians the difference between what's holy and unholy? According to the Bible, you do. They don't know the difference. You can preach the gospel and get them saved and they'll be Christians, but they don't know the difference between holy and unholy. They don't know what to do. They don't know what kind of books to read, what kind of movies to see, if they ought to do this, ought to do that, even down to a point who to vote for. People get angry at me because I'll so strong on sometimes, and that's one of the things that's wrong with our nation and a nation that I love and that I see it going the way it's going, and I know if we just have a few better leaders in some ways, we could solve some of these problems, but then you have Christians that's against you. You can't see that. We have Christians today that are drinking and doing things, and the pastors are teaching them that's okay. You mean they don't know the difference? No, they don't know the difference. How are they supposed to know the difference? It's up to the pastor of the church to teach them. We're not just supposed to teach you how to get to heaven. We're supposed to teach you how to live on the earth and what's right and what's wrong. And when you start telling people what's wrong, they say, you really stepping on my toes. No, I'm not stepping on your toes. There's a holy way and there's an unholy way. And you have to teach the difference. You have to teach Christians not to fight with one another. Isn't that amazing? We're not born with discernment. Kids don't know. See, the home now, the Bible says that you are not to spare the rod from a child. That means discipline. But you're supposed to have the rod and teaching. You're not just to whip a child. You're to teach a child in the home. You're to teach them right from wrong. We all know that. And we've not, today in the homes, we don't have that teaching. And the kids don't know discernment. Then they don't, coming out of the home, they don't know not to rebel. They've had their way in the home. They're rebellious against their parents. They stay in their room all the time. Stay on the inner tube all the time. And they rebel against their parents, and there's no discipline. And we've had society teach us that's not the way you raise a child. You don't discipline a child like you don't strike a child. You'll destroy a child. And we had society teach us how to raise our children, and they don't know themselves. And they say, well, the Bible, they think the Bible's wrong, and the Bible plainly tells us how to train up our children. Bring them up in the way they should go. Leave a child to itself, and it'll rule. But yet when I went to school, when I grew up, they whipped us. Man, would they whip you. Sometimes they'd whip us they'd whip us for the wrong thing. Somebody else did it, we'd get a whipping too. But it didn't warp us. And thank God they whipped us, we'd have took over. We knew better. We were taught authority. We knew who to respect. They taught us that. And when we rebelled, they met us on that level. And they turned us around. Pointed us the other way. And gave us a little motivation to walk that way. But now, there's no such thing. They've taught us it's abuse. Well, there was abuse when I grew up. The difference between discipline and abuse is you discipline out of love. You abuse out of hate or anger. That's the difference. You love them, but our homes doesn't have that, and so we've not taught our children. We've not taught our children to love our nation. You have to teach them that. You have to teach a child patriotism. You have to teach people now, grown people now, patriotism. You have to teach them to love that flag and to love America. You have to teach them that. And we taught them that through the pledge and through singing songs and taught them history and taught them where we come from and the mistakes we made and all the things that taught us to love our nation. But we don't have that now. Satan knows what he's doing. And there is no discernment. People don't have it. How can people say, how could we ever think that people wouldn't know the difference between good and evil? We think that's obvious. It's not obvious. If you're not taught, it's not obvious. So now then, they think we don't even need the police. We don't need people telling us what to do. We don't need to respect the police. We don't need we don't need to submit to authority. And so we got a whole generation, a whole society that we've reared like that. And now they don't know the difference between good and evil. What's upside down? Because nobody's taught them. Then when somebody comes along that's strong, that begins to teach Christians to discern between good and evil, right and wrong, they think we're old-fashioned, think we're hard, think, well, you're just trying to tell us what to do, you're trying to control, No, I'm trying to tell you what's right and wrong. These people are not right. Don't do this, don't do that. We're supposed to. Notice he said, and you shall teach my people the difference between holy and unholy, and that will cause them to discern between good, or what's clean and unclean, or between good and evil. Hebrews 5:12, you don't have to turn that, but it says, by reason of use, we have our senses exercised to discern. By reason of use, by reason of training. Somebody telling us what's right and wrong. Amen? It's sad that we've got here in this day. Look with me in Hosea. Chapter 4. A small part of the gospel, whether you realize not, is or small part of the Bible, just small part of the Bible is the gospel. Preaching of the gospel. That is where you preach to get people to be Christians. Then the rest of the time, where the pastor comes in and where other ministers and things come in to help the pastor and teaching the people what's right and wrong. What's good and what's bad. What's holy and what's unholy. Teaching them just say how to prosper where money's concerned. What's right and what's wrong. What's good and what's evil. You're keeping God's money. Don't keep God's money. You've got to give God his money. If you give God his money, he'll bless your money. That's right and that's wrong. That's good and it's evil and that's holy and that's unholy. The tithe, the Bible says, is a holy thing. The tithe is holy. And if you keep the holy thing, that means it's unholy and you're bringing a curse on yourself. That's just one of the things we have to teach people. The Bible says that in the church, the older women have to teach the younger women how to love their husbands. Well, there's no such thing anymore. I don't even know most of the older women know how. Who would ever thought that would be in the Bible? The older women have to teach young women how to love their husbands. Because they've lived with a man long enough to understand how a man is. And how they think and how they do. And honey, that's just a man. And they're all alike. So the older women's lived with them long enough to teach them. Don't kill them. Go back. Don't do that. It doesn't say anything about the men teaching the men. Maybe they're all the same, you know, from young to old. But it says that in the Bible. Did you know it says it? That way we'd have more harmony in the home. And naturally you'd have to set the husbands down and talk to them and teach them. The older teaches the younger. I grew up, you know, how we taught a young horse to plow. We hooked him with an old horse. They taught them to gee and haw. We don't know that. Nothing knows that. You have to be taught the things of God. You have to be taught the discipline of God. You have to be taught, and sometimes you have to be rebuked. It's an awesome responsibility that God puts on a pastor. And if you don't do it, then be like Moses, and if you get over into yourself and you get frustrated to people and say, you people, then God takes it out on us. Say, oh, you messed up. He said, no. Amen? We have to teach them how to submit. We have to teach people how to get along. Do you believe you have to teach people how to get along? You have to teach people. Inside of you is a gift God gave you. You have this treasure in earthen vessels, and you have such potential and all this in you. And the only thing that keeps it from coming out and ever being birthed in the earth and blessing mankind is your soul. This mind. I have seen so much potential wasted. I've seen so much potential never come to fruition. I've seen so much potential go to the graveyard or just say dormant because of their mind. They can't ever get past themselves. It's sad. And you have to teach people. Now you need to stop that. You need to sit down. You need to be quiet. You need to. God has something for you, but you're ruining it. You're destroying it. Are you out there? And said, priest, I don't know as many as Doc Barclay does, but it's amazing the stories he tells. when I get sitting talking to him about what's going on in the body of Christ, I mean, it's really pathetic what some ministers are teaching the people. And by that, we lose the discernment. We don't even know what a tare is or a wheat is. And we allow the tares to grow up in our among our wheat. That's like the sheep and the wolves grow together. Hosea chapter 4. Hear the word of the Lord, you children. For the Lord brings a charge, a legal complaint against you. What he's saying here, I'm bringing a legal written complaint against you, a legal document I have written up against you. That's what that means. Against the inhabitants of the land. And we can say that really true about America. There is no truth, nor mercy, or knowledge of God in your land. Knowledge of God. You know, there's more about God that we need to know than just he'll bless you financially and make you rich. That's all we've taught, teachers, that's all they've taught in the body of Christ. That's all they've taught. And while we slept, trying to get rich. There's more to the gospel, or more to the Bible to teach than that. Teach about God. There's no knowledge of God in the land. By swearing, or swearing and lying and committing adultery, they break all restraints. Swearing and lying, killing, stealing. Killing is murdering. What it is abortion. And stealing and committing adultery. That lying there is talking about business transaction. What that's talking about in business transactions. No honesty. No honesty in business. If you think God doesn't watch business people, read James chapter 5. Woe unto you, you businessman. Woe be unto you. I've watched every transaction you've done. He watches it. Now, and he's saying, because that is a widespread thing, it's become the norm. In business, there's no honesty, trustworthy, no integrity. They come out behind all the boundaries that I have set around your nation, around society to protect it. And because they have broken all restraint or the boundaries with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Now, we know what that is, abortion. Therefore, the land will mourn, weep, and everyone who dwells there will waste away. The beast of the field, nature, will, the birds of the air, even the fish of the sea will be taken away. Things will begin to disappear. Amen? I'm trying to read all these notes I've written. Let no man contend or rebuke another. That simply means don't start blaming everybody else for the problem. Well, it's in Republicans, it's office. We can get a Democrat. We can just get a Democrat in this election. If we can get Biden in, everything's going to be all right. Help me, Jesus. Or if we can get this, we can get that. That's the problem. This is the problem. He said, quit blaming everybody else and look at ourselves. If my people, he didn't say these nuts, if my people, we have a lot of control over what happens in our nation, right? For your people are like those who contend with the priest, question authority, or rebel against authority. What he's saying there. The prophets also shall stumble with you in the night time. And I will destroy your mother. Wow, what does that mean? It means your false religions or what you are relying on or what you depend on or for your supply, your nourishment, or what you, a job, the stock market, your retirement, anything you're dependent on other than God, when we get like this, God said, I'll take it away. Amen. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you and I will also reject you from being a priest for me. Because you have forgotten the word of God, I will also forget your children. Wow. And if we look what's happening in America, it's mostly young people. It's out here revolting and rebelling. They're just ignorant. I mean, that means they don't know what they're doing. They've not been taught right and wrong. If somebody would have taken those kids even now and just wire them out. So you're not going to get out here acting like a fool. You remember when they had that one riot and that woman come down there and got her kid? Got him by the nape of the neck, and man, she whipped him all the way back home. Thank God for that mama. That kid will turn out all right. She said, you're not getting out here acting like no fool. Wow. See, we had more of that. She's taught, teaching that boy. That's not right, son. We have to be taught that. Amen? The more they increased, the more they sinned against me, and I changed their glory to shame. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their hearts on the iniquity, and it shall be like people, like priests. Well, now what's that mean? Over in 1 Timothy, you don't have to turn there unless you want to. I'll read this to you. 1 Timothy 4, 1. Now the Spirit expressly says, in latter times some will depart from the faith. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and being taught, what one translation said, being taught the doctrines of demons. And being taught in the church, doctrines of devils. People being taught by priests, doctrines of devils. Well, the doctrine of a devil, let me tell you something. Anything is not just blatant, you're going to know it's the devil. He is so subtle. One thing, you know, he showed up with Adam and Eve and he said, hath God said? And they said, yeah. And she said, well, of all the trees we can eat, but we can't eat or even touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, whether God said you can touch it or not, I don't know. The Bible doesn't say that, but he flat said don't eat it. And the knowledge of good and evil, I've studied that many times, and what exactly was the knowledge of good and evil? Well, that knowledge of good there is human good. Human good, man doing good on his own. His own, what he considers his own good to lead and to do. His own decision making for what is good. Well, we see it today, it's just blatant. As far as abortion, they say this is good. Laws did say this is good for the right of the woman. This is good. No, it's not good. That's human good. Now, they think it's good and so on. Man's good, or man trying to do good without God, is a sin. Now, when God's on the inside of us, we're supposed to do good, but we're motivated by God and the Word of God to do good. Not on our own. We don't need God to do good. I don't need God to tell me what's right and wrong. I don't need God to tell me what's good. I know what's good. I know what I'm supposed to do. Do we really? But when you get born again, get the Holy Spirit in you, he'll motivate you to do good the way he wants you to do good. And evil is evil. And God was saying there, you don't even know evil Adam, you don't know evil. You don't need to know evil. Stay away from that tree. But did they? Look over in Genesis with me. Are you enjoying that? Genesis chapter, 9 or something. I just study all kind of stuff in the Bible. And well, let's look in chapter 6. Verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every intent and thought of the heart was only evil continually. Now, can you imagine if we were back in that day, what would be on the news? What would be the politics of the day? We just read the Bible and we think. But every thought and intent of man was evil. They'd gotten totally away from any of the doctrine or teaching of God. What they knew that Adam had passed down and taught all about God. And Adam knew a lot about God. He lived 900 something years, wasn't it? I mean, he knew a lot about God. God had walked with him a long time. We don't know how long before Adam and Eve ever ate of that apple. We don't know. And God came down every day and talked with him. Told him a lot. They knew a lot about God. And he taught people. And so, but this limited time, I think it was 1,500 years before the flood from creation. How much did they know about God? But they had rejected every bit of it. All the good, everything about God, the knowledge of God, they had rejected. And there was no knowledge of God. How can a society get that way? Very easily. They did. Notice. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved. Wow, that's pitiful. That's one of the saddest scriptures in the whole Bible. So the Lord said, I will destroy man and everything on the earth. I'm sorry that I made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. For Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation, because he walked with God. Just, righteous man, perfect in his generation. Well, what's your excuse? What's my excuse? What's other people's excuse to keep us from being just and perfect in the eyes of God? Upright, that means. Upright, a man of integrity, what it means. A man of integrity in his generation. Now, that was with all the evil people he lived with. That wasn't just at home. He did business and carried on everything around him. And Noah had three sons. Look at verse 11. And the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was full of violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed, it was corrupt, and all flesh was corrupt in all their ways. And the Lord said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come up before me, for the earth is filled with violence. Two things that was prevalent in Noah's day was violence, lawlessness, and sexual perversion. Those two things is what caused God to destroy man. If you read over in the book of Matthew, also in the book of Luke, you'll see in the days of Noah. What were they? And you can read on. They were violent. and sexual perversion everywhere. What do we see in the news? Violence, lawlessness. Lawlessness. The Bible says lawlessness will increase. Even says of the Antichrist, he is the man of lawlessness. That's what we're seeing, lawlessness. No respect for the law. No respect for authority. No respect for any of that. That's what we're seeing. That's what caused God to destroy all down through the Bible. Every time he judged a nation was because of violence. It got so violent. And you've not seen anything yet. You take all the police out of these cities everywhere. It's going to be, you know, we just have to protect yourself. Violence. But it says in Noah's day that they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. In other words, all that was going on. Well, who was eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage? All these corrupt, violent, sexual, perverted people. All of these people, it wasn't Noah. All society was marrying. They were building, carrying on, prospering. That also tells us that they were carrying on business without even realizing what was going on around them. And Noah preached. He didn't preach. I studied, looked up how long it took Noah to build the ark. It didn't take him 120 years. We get that because it says he'll not always strive with man. He said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to limit man's life here to 120 years because of that. Somewhere I've just read different things. It took him 70 years, something like that, to build the ark, whatever. But it don't matter how long it took him to build it. He built it. But he preached to them and told them. But they carried on business just like everything was normal. Just like nothing ever happened. Until he went into the ark and closed the door. In 7 days, you know. Then they began to realize, hey, that man been telling us the truth. But they were so violent. And so what we're seeing, all this lawlessness, that's a good sign for us. Really, it is a good sign that this ark's about to float. We're about to go out of here. I mean, it has to be, can't be both ways. But they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving. So it tells me everything's going to go on as normal. It's not going to be anything just out of the ordinary except the heart of man and the condition of man, how he acts and thinks and all that, is going to be so different without God. No knowledge of God in the land. Romans says that. Paul told Timothy that. Jesus said that. Peter said that. All of them said pretty much the same thing about the last day. So all of this just points to me, all this lawlessness and stuff. Hey, we're in the end, and that's a good thing. That's a good sign. I'm glad he picked us to watch it unfold. Aren't you? Just to sit and watch it. But we have to stay with it. We have to stay strong. We have to keep preaching it strong. We have to keep teaching people. Stay out of that. Don't do this. Stay in church. Stay close. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't get offended. Don't get upset. Don't let your heart be overcharged with surfeiting and all this cares of the world and all this. Keep your eyes on the sky. Amen. Keep looking up. The Bible says as he went, he's coming back. How'd he go? On a cloud. How's he coming back? On a cloud. They said, why stand ye here gazing up into heavens? This same Jesus that you see going up will so come in like manner. And they watched him go out of sight. Stand there just watching him. Like you watch a balloon. I'll watch a balloon, you know, kids will turn loose and I'll watch it and I'll think about it every time. That's how Jesus did. He kept floating higher and higher and higher, and he just kept, you couldn't see him. He's just a little pin dot. That's exactly how it was. You'll think that next time you see a balloon. That's how he went up. Then that's how he's coming back. Well, look, what's that little dot in the sky? Amen? Well, and we want the rapture. We go, you know. Where do we go? I don't know. There's here a minute ago. Well, stand up. Praise the Lord. I just want to tell you that it is a proper, description of my job is to teach you right and wrong, all the way down to even the conditions of the land and things, because the Holy Spirit burns these things inside of me. He burns it inside of me to where I can't keep from saying things. And I want to warn people, don't vote that way or do this way, that's wrong, you know, even things like that, because we want to fight till we leave here. We want to restrain till we're taken out of the way, and we will do it too. Amen? But in the meantime, we're going to prosper. It says, as it was in the days of Lot, they were buying and selling, building, tearing down, building bigger. Sound to me like they're prospering. So they were. Until Lot and his family left the city. But you know, Lot would have never went out of that city if it hadn't been for Abraham praying. He would have died with the ungodly. He would have died with them. So that tells me, don't stop praying for your family. Abraham spared Lot and his whole family. And they were a bunch of messed up people. They were messed up, but they were saved by faith in what Abraham believed. Lot didn't know God that good. He just knew the God of Abraham. And he was justified by faith in what he believed. And the Bible calls him a righteous man. You never thought he was righteous. And said his spirit was vexed, living in that hour, in that city. But nevertheless, he lived there. So that tells me, you know, we better not stop praying for our family. Because the Lord delivered them because of Abraham. Now, Lord, you saved my family. You saved my children. You saved my... He said, all right, because of you. Because you asked me, I will. Wow. Father, we thank you tonight for the ability to discern the hour we're living in, to see what's happening around us, to know what's going on, to be able to understand and read the sky. You said, well, you hypocrites, you can discern the sky. And you can tell whether it's going to rain or not by the sky. But you can't discern the times you're living in? Lord, we're not hypocrites. And we're not dull. We discern the time we're living in. We see it. And we understand it. And we see how important it is to be alert, to be watchful, and to pray, and stay in church, and keep doing what you told us to do to keep the boundaries around us. We will not lose the restraint of the Holy Ghost around us. Father, thank you. Now, Lord, we pray Psalms 91 over this congregation. We declare that no plague will come nigh them in Jesus' name. Lord, you're keeping them safe from that virus. That virus cannot touch any of the people of Glory Tabernacle. It will not, cannot, and shall not touch them in any shape, form, or fashion. Because we rebuke it, we stand firm against it, because we're living in the knowledge of God, walking in the knowledge of God, and you set boundaries around us, and that evil spirit cannot cross that line, and we're saved through the blood and the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. All right, praise the Lord, you're dismissed.